This is Wilderness and Wildlife, presented by the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. This is a half-hour program featuring commentaries and interviews with wildlife and wilderness advocates relating to the unique natural environment that we enjoy in the wildlands of the West and all across America. I'm your host, Jay Schell. Today we're interviewing Chance Cotrano, the Director of Programs at the Resource Renewal Institute in Marin County, California. It's a 40-year-old conservation organization located in the Bay Area. His work centers around large landscape conservation, from the preservation of wildlife in national parks to the restoration of biodiversity in agricultural ecosystems. For the past 10 years, Chance has led the national campaign to restore Point Reyes National Seashore in Marin County. So in addition, he serves on the board of directors of the Sierra Club San Francisco Bay chapter, as well as the International Rivers. Chance holds a master's degree of public administration in sustainable management from Presidio Graduate School. He earned a bachelor's in philosophy and political science from St. Xavier University. In 2018, he received the Sierra Club California's inaugural Emerging Leader Award for outstanding contributions to California conservation and politics by someone under the age of 30. Point Reyes National Seashore, which is our subject today, is a 71,000-acre park that juts out into the Pacific Ocean. It's managed by the National Park Service. It harbors a herd of tule elk that's contained behind an 8-foot fence. That's what we want to talk about today with Chance. So welcome, Chance. It's great to be talking with you. We're going to find out a lot about Point Reyes.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jay. I look forward to chatting.
So when was Point Reyes National Seashore established?
Yeah, so the seashore was a project of local environmental advocates supported by David Brower and the Sierra Club and staff within the National Park Service, the late Congressman Clem Miller. And together they were able to get the Point Reyes Act signed into law by President John F. Kennedy, September 13th of 1962. And then after a decade of efforts to acquire the land to create it, and then all of the speculative real estate booms that significantly drove up the price of acquisition, Point Reyes National Seashore was actually established on October 20th of 1972, about a decade later.
Uh-huh. So what were the conditions when it was set up?
Yeah.
And it was established by Congress, right?
That's right. Established by Congress and then signed into law by the president. And the conditions, as much of Marin during that time, were fairly pastoral in nature.
Uh-huh.
The vast majority of the National Seashore, like most of West Marin still to this day, consisted of agriculture, specifically beef and dairy ranching, which was what that area was known for, both regionally and statewide at the time of the acquisition.
Didn't John Burton play a major role in its establishment? That's my recollection.
Played a significant role, and ultimately he was honored, congressman from San Francisco, he was honored with the designation of the wilderness area within Point Reyes, being named after him, the Philip Burton Wilderness Area within Point Reyes National Seashore.
So when it was established, were there tule elk already out there, or did they import a herd of the tule elk? How did they get there?
Yeah, that's the amazing thing about this story. So tule elk once inhabited the grasslands of Point Reyes National Seashore, what was the Point Reyes Peninsula, back when it was managed by its original stewards, the Coast Miwok people of present-day Marin County. And throughout the state of California, there were upwards of 550,000 elk, migrating all across the state. Unfortunately, these grazers were extirpated or thought to have been completely extirpated back in the 1850s all across the state and especially in Marin County. It wasn't until later point in time that some elk were actually discovered on a ranch in rural Central Valley, California, and they were able to save this small group of elk. And over time, they were able to build up the populations and eventually bring them to Point Reyes National Seashore, where they used to exist. They brought 10 elk back, transplanted them back to reintroduce them to Point Reyes National Seashore back in 1978. And they actually brought them to the northern part of the park, which is what we're here to talk about today, that's currently fenced off. It's called Tamales Point. So that was the Tamales Point herd. And over time, over the last 40, 50 plus years, that elk herd has grown to a substantial size. But to this day, Point Reyes remains the only national park unit where you can actually see a tule elk.
So from 10 animals, it's grown to what, 500 or more?
That's right. And over time, you know, there had been struggles with the growth of that population. A lot of the lands that they were introduced to were a former ranch. The lands were overgrazed, and because they were fenced in, they weren't able to actually access forage and water. And so, you know, they had struggles in the, you know, 80s and 90s, but ultimately their population achieved about 140 animals, and they decided in the late 90s to relocate some of those elk to the southern part of the National Seashore. So there are multiple elk herds all across the seashore, currently, that, yeah, number around 500 to 600 tule elk at any given time.
So there are already elk that are not contained on the peninsula?
That's right, yes. In 1998, they relocated some to the wilderness area, the Philip Burton Wilderness, in the southern part of the National Seashore. And then some of those elk actually swam across the Estero to another part of the National Seashore where there was ranching and established another subherd. And so there are a couple of different herds at the southern end of the park, and then there's a large herd at the northern end of the park that's still behind this 8-foot-tall, 2-mile-long fence that bifurcates the National Seashore.
Wasn't there a death event that occurred because of starvation and lack of water?
Absolutely, and this is one of the tragedies that had been acknowledged by scientists way back when they envisioned of establishing free-ranging tule elk herds out at Point Reyes. They anticipated that because they were limited by this fence, and their ability to get food and water, especially during drought conditions or if the population increased and the elk didn't have enough forage, that they would see substantial population reduction. And, you know, as we are seeing with climate change and more extreme weather events, drought is prevalent in California. And back in 2012, there was a significant drought. And then again in 2020, another historic drought, and we saw these herds that were trapped behind this fence at the northern part of the seashore. They dropped from 540 elk to 286 elk in between 2012 and 2014, and then again from 445 elk to 221 elk between 2019 and 2021. And of course, there was much alarm in both the scientific and environmental communities, as well as the general public going out there and seeing starving elk or elk that were, you know, dehydrated and had collapsed out within, you know, out in the National Seashore. The tribal community out here was very concerned about this as well. And so this had raised a lot of alarm bells for people about, you know, what can we do to help protect, you know, really healthy and robust elk herds and not subject them to these constant die-offs that they were experiencing behind that fence.
Well, hasn't the Park Service been importing food and water to that herd behind the fence?
Yes. Again, you know, this herd through each of these historic droughts over the last decade or a little bit longer, you know, the elk that I mentioned previously that are outside of the fence that have established in the other parts of the seashore, their populations were not affected because they could go get water and forage wherever they wish. However, because these elk at the northern part of the park were fenced in, the Park Service came under pressure in 2019 and 2020, both from the environmental community, from the general public, but especially from the local indigenous communities, the local tribe, Great Rancheria, and they ultimately put out water tanks as well as mineral supplements for the elk in order to help them get through the drought. But as you can imagine, you know, this is all happening not only within a national park unit, but within the wilderness area of a national park that these activities are taking place, which is, you know, getting further and further away of from managing this land as wilderness and more as if it were a zoo, which was creating a lot more pressure on the National Park Service to maybe course correct, which is ultimately what they decided to do when they announced a new planning process in 2022 to figure out if drought is the new normal out here and if this is going to keep happening, you know, should we change our management practices for this part of the national seashore?
Was there a recent die-off? I thought I heard of a lot of elk dying because of starvation just within the past year. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, the most recent big die-off event was actually like the lead-up to the 60th anniversary of the establishment of the National Seashore. So that was between 2019 and 2021 was the latest big die-off event. But the last couple of years, we've had a little bit better rain conditions in the winter, which has been helpful for the wildlife out there.
I see. So what's the big controversy now? Well, didn't the Park Service propose shooting elk to try to reduce the size of the herd?
Yes. So as part of a bigger management plan for the seashore, they said that they would, you know, avoid getting elk above certain population thresholds that were fairly arbitrary in my organization's opinion. They weren't science-based. They were just, you know, here's how many elk are out there. Let's say that that's the number of healthy, you know, a healthy population. And if there are any more, we'll go out there and we will remove elk, you know, ultimately, you know, killing any elk that get above that population threshold. That was for the free-ranging elk that exist in the southern part of the park. In the northern part of the park, they basically said, you know, if the elk keep producing and the population gets too high, another drought will come and, you know, the elk will die off. And that's the quote, natural cycle. So we'll just let that natural cycle play out. And ultimately, you know, many of us in the community felt that that was inappropriate, both the killing of the elk and also the cruel activity of, you know, letting all these elk die behind this fence when they had no food or water. And so several lawsuits were filed against the National Park Service over these management practices between, you know, 2021 and today. There's several lawsuits pending over these sorts of issues.
So what's been the, have residents in the county been in an uproar over this proposal?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, back when the original die-off was announced in 2014 and 2015, you know, many people just assume, you know, they took the Park Service's word for it, that this was, you know, an unavoidable consequence of just nature doing what nature does. You know, not to mention the fact that there's this giant fence out there that's preventing the movement of the elk. But over the last decade, with a lot more public education, a lot more information circulating, and more engagement from environmental advocates and a lot more engagement with the federal government as well, we've actually seen a dramatic change in public sentiment. During that comment period I mentioned that started in 2022, the Park Service saw over 35,000 comments come in about the elk and trying to find ways to protect elk populations out at the National Seashore. And I'll add that my organization, we actually tallied every single comment that came in with a group of volunteers, and we published those results, and we found that, you know, upwards of 99% of those comments that came in, between 96 and 99% of those comments actually were in favor of protecting the elk, protecting wildlife within the national park, and prioritizing wildlife protection and removing this this elk fence that has been hampering this population and preventing their free movement across this public land for decades.
So when is the fence scheduled to come down?
Well, that is the beautiful sort of end of the story, at least, you know, the end of that chapter of the Park Service planning process. They actually announced, you know, their final preferred alternative was to remove the elk fence. And then last Monday, out of nowhere, they kind of just did a mic drop and announced that they've come to a final decision and they would officially remove that elk fence. And then within 24 hours, staff were actually out there on the seashore beginning to remove portions of that fence. And so that was obviously a celebratory moment for many folks who have been advocating for this for well over a decade. Unfortunately, I should say, there are always these caveats and always there's another chapter and another chapter to these big stories. But just 2 days after the announcement, the California Cattlemen's Association filed a lawsuit against the National Park Service to prevent them from removing any more of the fence and imploring the courts to have the to demand that the Park Service actually put up any of the fence that they had already taken down. And this is because that fence borders, at least some of it borders, lands that are currently leased for beef and dairy ranching within the National Seashore.
So the ranchers are in opposition to the fence coming down because the elk compete for forage with the cows?
That has long been held as one of the concerns from the agricultural community and from ranchers who reside and run cattle within the national park. However, I should add that while this has been stated as a concern from ranchers, back in 2021, the University of California at Santa Barbara had some researchers that actually did a study looking at elk and cattle interactions within the National Seashore, utilizing GPS collars on the elk, and then they had satellite imagery to observe cattle grazing dynamics, and actually were counting cattle from satellite imagery. And they found that any elk that had escaped from different parts of the park and were now, you know, on land that was leased for grazing, they actually avoided cattle pastures in general and chose separate foraging sites when they did co-occur in a general area. So the findings suggested that the elk selected habitat that reduced potential conflicts for grazing with grazing cattle out there, even in cases where the forage was limited. So more science and more information has come out to sort of debunk some of the myths and the concerns that had weighed on the Park Service and were shared with the community for a long time about the risks of, you know, elk moving freely across the National Seashore.
So do you expect that the elk are going to be moving further east in Marin County and north up into Sonoma County?
Not anytime soon. So while if the Park Service is to succeed and the fence ultimately does come down after a judge kind of works through the current litigation with the Cattlemen's Association, it realizes a vision for, statewide elk management. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife has, as one of their goals in their most recent statewide elk plan, the removal of one of the confined herds, which this would accomplish. However, the Department of Fish and Wildlife has a policy to disallow the migration or the movement of any Tule elk outside of the National Seashore itself. So they would be killed if they left the national seashore. At least that's the current policy. Now, the carrying capacity of the seashore is large enough that many elk, it would take many more elk to get to a place many decades before anyone expects that there would even be any elk moving, attempting to move off the seashore. But we know there's tens of thousands of public, you know, acres of public lands just outside the seashore that could maybe one day hold some elk. So there's always the potential as the movement for rewilding our public lands, you know, becomes larger and stronger, that there will be requests for neighboring public agencies to see some elk on those lands one day. But for the time being, I don't foresee any change to, you know, that dynamic. I see you'll still only be able to see tule elk at Point Reyes National Seashore in terms of, you know, visiting the national parks of the North Bay.
Do you expect that, with elk outside the fence already, has that encouraged the coyote populations to increase in Marin?
I'm hopeful that coyote population health will improve within the seashore based on this. I think also, and maybe more importantly, mountain lion populations as well might see some improvement within the national seashore based on, you know, growing elk herd dynamics and greater movement of elk across the ecosystems out there on the peninsula.
Do you already have mountain lion?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? And
yeah, we even have some bears out there, too.
So how do you think the environment's going to be affected? Will it affect the plant life that grows out there?
It will. I think it will. I think it goes without saying that, when we create these fences and we create these different barriers within our national parks, whether it's fragmented by a road or fragmented by, you know, development or something like that, it has all of these impacts on the way that our native ecosystems function, whether it's the restriction of the movement of animals and or the changing of the water courses, et cetera. But, if the seashore is to continue to be restored and if we're to continue to improve the ecological processes out there, eventually, you know, the elk would have needed to become free-ranging throughout the seashore anyway. Those are the native dominant grazers out there. So I think that this is an amazing step in, you know, aligning our actions and our management in concert with the founder's vision for Point Reyes National Seashore, and as well as the original stewards of this land. I think you'll see more biodiversity in general from this management activity. We've seen, I'll just say as one anecdote, that when the elk were reintroduced to the northern part of the park, which had historically also been a ranch, it took a long period of time, but we now have information and spatial data that shows a lot of the relic coastal prairies in that part of the national seashore were able to recover. You did see increasing chaparral and scrubland, but you also saw increasing diversity of native plant species, which obviously have impacts on native bird populations and migratory bird populations and insect populations, as well as, you know, other, you know, flora and fauna within the national seashore. So overall, it'll be a big boon for the native environment out there.
So how do you think the ranchers are going to be affected long-term? They were originally supposed to be phased out 25 years after the establishment of the park, but they're still there.
Yes, ranchers do continue to have beef and dairy operations within the park. I think that this change will not have a substantial impact on any of those operations that are currently out there. So it's just a matter of, you know, all of us that go out and enjoy the National Seashore and any of our public lands, and how we use our public lands, making sure that we do so in ways that are compatible with the natural environment. And so coexisting alongside elk and alongside the other wildlife that call it home is kind of just part of the deal, you know?
Do you have any ranchers who have accommodated to this and expressed their support?
Not at present. I think the ranchers that have been quoted in the press related to this have continued to express some concern. Some ranchers did comment to the Park Service during their planning process and also expressed a certain amount of concern as well, specifically with, you know, things like, oh, well, you know, are the elk going to damage fencing out there, and who's going to have to pay for that sort of thing? And currently we have about, you know, there are like a dozen ranches in the seashore, about 320 plus miles of barbed wire fences, all throughout the National Seashore, for these agricultural operations. So there is a chance that any movement of elk could damage some of these things. And, those are the kinds of comments that we've heard as of late.
How has the Marin County Board of Supervisors been responding to this? And I'm also curious about your representative, Jared Hoffman.
Yeah, I would say that the Board of Supervisors, both the Board of Supervisors and other elected officials, have been relatively quiet on this particular issue, specifically on the elk fence. I think in part because we're seeing such a groundswell of public support for the removal of the fence and for the health and well-being of wildlife species within the national park. So everybody understands that with, you know, drought being the new normal, we're going to have to figure out how to change some of our management practices as new conditions emerge. So I think people have been generally like in a wait and see kind of approach. So this announcement is, you know, just another, it's a commitment that the Park Service has made. But as I said earlier, you know, within 48 hours, there was a challenge to this decision. So it's, I think a lot of people are still in that wait and see because they know, you know, on any, like on any piece of public land, there are a lot of different opinions about how to manage it and for what purpose. And so there's a lot of back and forth.
Chance, we have run out of time. This has been great. I've been fascinated by this issue for a long time. So thank you very much for talking with us today.
Absolutely, Jay. Anytime.
Our guest has been Chance Cotrano, Director of Programs at the Resources Renewal Institute in Marin County. This has been Wilderness and Wildlife, a presentation of the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. To hear more of these half-hour interviews, go online to kgvm.org or to buzzsprout.com. You can see our website at jswilderness.com. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Jay Schell.